News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Bhubaneswar Airport in Odisha has shut operations from 11 p.m. on Tuesday, while Bengal's Kolkata Airport will remain closed from 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday till 7:45 p.m. As Cyclone Yaas, that will make a landfall between Dhamra Port and Balasore on the Odisha coast at noon, has intensified into a very severe storm. The cyclone is expected to hit the eastern coast with wind speed of up to 185 km/h and will also cross Bengal. Sanjeev Banerjee, India Meteorological Department Director, has warned that the residents of the two eastern states may witness uprooting of power lines and trees, while low-lying areas will be inundated and there will be low visibility. He added that they have suspended fishing operations and they have been evacuated from coastal areas too. Dr. Uma Shankar Das, a scientist at the Regional Meteorological Centre in Bhubaneswar, said that the landfall will most likely be between Dhamra and Chandbali in the district. IMD Director General Dr. Mrityunjay Mohapatra said that Yaas is likely to intensify into a very severe cyclonic storm by Tuesday evening and Chandbali is likely to witness the maximum damage caused by it. He said the impact will be severe for 6 hours before and after the landfall. The National Disaster Response Force has earmarked its highest ever number of teams for deployment in Odisha and West Bengal as part of its preparations for the impending cyclone Yaas, a senior officer said on Tuesday. The Federal Contingency Force has committed a total of 113 teams for deployment in 5 states and the Union Territory of Andaman and Nicobar Islands, which are expected to be affected by the cyclone developing in the Bay of Bengal. Out of these, the highest, the number of 52 teams, are designated for Odisha, followed by 45 teams for West Bengal. West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee said that the West Bengal government has made all necessary arrangements in dealing with the aftermath of Cyclone Yaas, which might affect 20 districts of the state. Addressing a press conference, Banerjee said the state is targeting to shift at least 10 lakh people to safer places in a bid to avoid any loss of life. Cyclone Yaas's impact is going to be much more than Amphan, according to the information we have received so far. This is going to affect at least 20 districts in West Bengal. The districts of Kolkata North and South, 24 Parganas and Purba Medinipur will be severely affected, she said. The districts of Howrah, Hooghly, Bankura, Birbhum, Nadia, Pashchim and Purba Bardhaman, Pashchim Medinipur, Murshidabad, Jhargram, Purulia would also be affected by the cyclone, she said. The CM urged people not to panic and advised against stepping out on Wednesday unless absolutely necessary. Please don't venture out unless it is very urgent during the cyclone. Today we have witnessed a couple of mini tornadoes at Bandel in Hooghly and in Bishpur, North 24 Parganas. More than 40 houses were partially damaged and 2 people killed in Pandua due to lightning. We are getting information that a few people were also injured, she said. Over 3 lakh people have been evacuated from the low-lying and vulnerable areas in Odisha. The process of moving people to safer places will be completed by Tuesday night, Special Relief Commissioner P.K. Jaina said. The state has 860 permanent shelters and 6,200 temporary homes identified where 7 to 8 lakh people can be safely accommodated, observing pandemic protocol, he said. Odisha Chief Minister Naveen Patnaik held a meeting to take stock of the cyclone situation in the state, which has already started impacting lives across the coastal districts as heavy rain pounced with blowing of wind at a speed of about 60 km/h. Bihar Chief Minister Nitish Kumar on Tuesday held a review meeting on the impending cyclone Yaas and instructed officials to remain alert to deal with the calamity. Chairing a virtual meeting with officials of disaster management and other departments and also district magistrates, the Chief Minister told them to make all arrangements in advance to meet the challenges of the very severe cyclonic storm. Kumar said, as per the information, Bihar will also be affected by the cyclone and so the officials should remain prepared in advance, an official statement said. He directed officials to make alternative arrangements in hospitals, government as well as private, in the event of power getting snapped due to the cyclonic impact and asked them to make a dry run of the optional preparation. Additional Chief Secretary of Disaster Management and Health Departments, Pratyay Amrit briefed about the information received from the India Meteorological Department on the cyclone. He said there is a possibility of rain and thunderstorm in Bihar from May 27 to May 30, and the district magistrates have been told about it. Maharashtra Director General of Police Subodh Kumar Jaiswal was on Tuesday appointed the new director for the Central Bureau of Investigation. The decision was taken during a high-powered committee led by Prime Minister Narendra Modi and comprising Chief Justice of India N.V. Ramana and Congress Lok Sabha floor leader Adhir Ranjan Chaudhary. He has been appointed as the director of CBI for a period of 2 years. The ministry order said Jaiswal is a 1985 batch IPS officer of the Maharashtra cadre and is currently serving as the chief of CISF. He has earlier held the positions of Mumbai Police Commissioner and Maharashtra DGP. He has also held central posts and has had long stints in the Intelligence Bureau and the Research and Analysis Wing. The Central Bureau of Investigation was working without a regular chief for over 3 months after Rishi Kumar Shukla completed his 2-year tenure on February 3. CBI Additional Director Praveen Sinha, a 1988 batch IPS officer of Gujarat cadre, was appointed the acting chief of the agency after Shukla completed his tenure. The meeting of the high-powered committee comprising Prime Minister Modi, Chief Justice of India N.V. Ramana and Leader of Opposition in Lok Sabha Adhir Ranjan Chaudhary started around 6:30 p.m. at the 7 Lok Kalyan Marg official residence of the Prime Minister, sources said. During the 90-minute meeting, Chaudhary objected to the process of selection of officers for the coveted post of CBI director. The way the procedure was followed, it was in conflict with the mandate of the committee. On 11th May, I was given 109 names, and today, that is Monday, by 1 p.m. 10 names were shortlisted, and by 4 p.m. 6 names were shortlisted. This casual approach of DOPT, or Department of Personnel and Training, is highly objectionable, Chaudhary had told PTI. The appointment assumes significance as the Supreme Court is hearing a petition filed by an NGO, Common Cause, on the delay in the appointment of a regular CBI chief. The centre had last month told the Supreme Court that the meeting of the selection committee for the appointment of the CBI director would be convened immediately after May 2. The new IT rules that were published by the Government of India came into effect on Wednesday and directly impact social media companies operating in India. With the likes of Facebook and Twitter having massive presence in India, the deadline seemingly puts the companies at risk of being banned in the country. However, there has been no clarity or official announcements from the central government regarding whether they would seek to impose a ban on platforms that are accessed by crores in India every day. On this note, a Facebook spokesperson has seemingly hinted that while the company does aim to comply with the new IT rules, it would likely only do so after clarifying issues which need more engagement with the government. A Facebook spokesperson said in a statement, "We aim to comply with the provisions of the IT rules and continue to discuss a few of the issues which need more engagement with the government. Pursuant to the IT rules, we are working to implement operational processes and improve efficiencies. Facebook remains committed to people's ability to freely and safely express themselves on our platform." When News18 reached out to Twitter, a Twitter India spokesperson declined to comment on the matter. The new IT rules had underlined that each social media company with over 5 million active users in India will have to appoint a grievance redressal officer, a nodal contact person, and a chief compliance officer, all based in the country itself. While the nodal contact officer will serve as the first point of contact and company representative to the Indian government, the chief compliance officer will be charged with ensuring that companies remain aligned with the laws of the land. The grievance redressal officer, meanwhile, will be required to address all grievances filed by users within 24 hours and issue a response to it within 15 days. The rules further state that in case of a ban on content or accounts, each social media company will be requested to inform all involved parties regarding the ban imposed and the underlying decision and rationale behind such bans. Officials with the Indian government have stated that social media companies such as Facebook and Twitter have repeatedly hidden behind their hierarchy being based in USA and claimed that such a situation is inadequate for companies that have such massive presence in the country. The new IT rules were published on February 2025 with an initial deadline of 3 months to comply. A state-backed Chinese firm has become the first foreign owner of a Sri Lankan highway, a boost for Beijing as it battles other regional powers for influence in the island nation. The cabinet on Monday awarded China Harbour Engineering Company, or CHEC, a contract to build a 17-kilometer four-lane highway in the capital Colombo. CHEC was expected to finish construction in 3 years and run the highway for 15 years before transferring ownership back to Sri Lanka, cabinet spokesman and energy minister Udaya Gamanapilla said on Tuesday. Officials involved with feasibility studies on the project said it could cost up to $1 billion to build. The decision came a week after the government conferred tax-free status to the Chinese-built Colombo Port City, the largest single foreign investment in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka's main opposition party, SJB, said the highway project could worsen the battle for influence between Beijing and regional powers such as India and Japan. Starting with the ports, China's influence now moves inland, SJB legislator Harsha De Silva told AFP. From a geological perspective, this shows Sri Lanka is moving to one side, and that is being pro-China. Sri Lanka last year scrapped a $1.5 billion Japanese-funded light rail project, saying it was not a cost-effective solution for congested Colombo. In March, the government offered a strategically located deep-sea port to India and Japan, a month after abruptly pulling out of an earlier agreement with Delhi and Tokyo to jointly develop another terminal next to a Chinese-run container jetty. In December 2017, unable to repay a huge Chinese loan, Sri Lanka allowed China Merchants Port Holdings to take over the southern Hambantota port, which straddles the world's busiest east-west shipping route. The deal, which gave the Chinese company a 99-year lease, raised fears about Beijing's use of debt traps to exert influence abroad. India and the United States have also expressed concern that a Chinese foothold at Hambantota could give Beijing a military advantage in the Indian Ocean. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.